This morning, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, I'd like to once again invite you to reach for that worship bulletin, and if you would, go ahead and turn to the back inside portion of that bulletin there. You'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. I trust that the Lord will lay something on your heart this morning as well as we spend time together in God's Word. Also there, you'll find a place that has some sermon take-homes and reflections for you as well, and our hope and prayer is that as you take that Word home with you this week, these additional thoughts and reflections will help you stay anchored and connected to that Word that God ultimately wants us to hear this morning. This morning, I'd like to begin our time together in God's Word by posing a question to you. And the question is this: what does faith under fire look like? What does faith under fire look like? Or maybe to adjust it just a little bit, what does faith in the fire look like? Maybe as you hear that question, maybe you're led to think back to some examples that you've heard recently of the church at large, and examples of persecution currently happening today on foreign soil. Maybe you're led to consider examples of faith in the fire or faith under fire right here in the States. Maybe you're led to think of an example of faith in the fire right here in Fort Wayne. Or maybe to peel that back one more layer, maybe there's a place in your life this morning where you feel like your faith is currently in the fire. This morning, as we spend time together in God's Word, we're going to hear about an example that includes four young men whose faith was in the fire. This morning, we're going to find out what the answer to that question looks like. What does faith under fire look like? This time in our service, what I'd like to do is I'd like to invite you to turn your attention to the screens up front for today's sermon video. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to invite you to look and to listen for what it looks like and sounds like when faith is in the fire. Let's take a look. It looks like technology may be in the fire as well this morning. Would you be willing to double-click on the screen for us? That's all right. These things happen. We will make do. God is bigger than technology, and He will provide. This morning, what we would see with our video is a recap of some portions of the Old Testament book of Daniel. And what we would see is a situation where a group of individuals were extracted and pulled from their home in Jerusalem and brought to a place known as Babylon. And there, the instructions would read as follows: take ingredients, place in the pot, put the lid on, and turn the thermostat up to as hot as it will go, and return back a few years later. Now, as you probably hear that, you're probably thinking, man, that sounds a lot like grandma's recipe for roast back in the day, or it sounds like something we just attempted recently with Thanksgiving. But what we would see is this, if we can keep it there for a moment. What we would see and what we're hearing is just this. This is the recipe for the Babylonian slow roast. And what's being cooked to a crisp is you, God's people, the children of God, men, women, and children of faith. Men, women, and children of faith. Men of faith like Daniel. Men of faith like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You see, what happens when Babylon comes to your home? They take you from your home and they bring you back to Babylon. And it's in that place they put you in their cultural and Babylonian slow roast. And what happens in the slow roast is just this. They change your name. So no longer are you Daniel, you're Belteshazzar. No longer are you Hananiah, you're Shadrach. No longer are you Mishael, you are Meshach. No longer are you Azariah, you are Abednego. And as Babylon continues to pull you deeper into their culture and deeper into their slow roast, what they start to continue to do to you is they start to assimilate you into their culture. They take away your name, and when they take away your name, they take away your identity. And they don't stop there. When you're in Babylon, Babylon tells you what to wear. You thought you had a hard time picking out what to wear for worship today? Boy, someone else is going to be picking out your socks, your shirt, your belt. Don't worry about the latest fashion trends, because Babylon tells you what the trend is, right? And if that wasn't bad enough, they tell you what to eat. You can't pick the diet you want. You can't stay away from the carbs or the meats or whatever it is your diet is. Babylon tells you what to eat. Do you see the picture? Do you see what life in Babylon is like? What it's like to be in the cultural Babylonian slow roast? Are you getting a picture? And if that wasn't bad enough, they take it one step further. They crank the thermostat up just a little bit more, and they change your religion. They change your name. They change your clothing, they change your diet, and they change your faith. If you were with us this past Wednesday for our midweek Advent service, and I hope you're able to join us throughout the week in our Wednesday night services as we continue to prepare our hearts and minds for the coming of our Lord Jesus, what you would have learned is Babylonians also practiced something to home sweet home. See, what they want you to do is they want you to realize that there is no going home for you. There is no clicking your heels together and thinking about Kansas or Nebraska, where I come from. Go Huskers. Sorry, Jim. They want you to know that there's no place like home, but home for you is now Babylon. So what they do is after they've taken you away from your home, after they've huffed and they've puffed and they've kicked your house down, they cut up your fields and they practice something known as ecocide. They pull up your landscaping, kiss the flowers goodbye, right? The trees, the grass. They pour stuff on it so it's unproductive. It's not going to work anymore. And if that wasn't bad enough, they practice something known as herbicide. That's not where they take out everybody named Herb, in case you were wondering. Thank you for laughing. I'm just thankful to know you're awake, right? If it wasn't bad enough that they smash and trash your land, they smash and trash any building that you have an emotional connection to. They knock your house down. They knock your neighbor's house down. They knock your family member's house down. They knock down any city or government building that you love. And they knock down your place of worship. You see, they want you knowing without a shadow of a doubt, there is no going home. Why? Because Babylon is now your home, where Babylon once again changes your name, changes your clothes, changes your food, changes your faith, changes your life. Now let me just pause for a moment and let me ask you this question. Where have you recently experienced the effects of a cultural slow roast? Pastor Seth, I'm not in Babylon. I don't connect with that. Where are you being asked to compromise the faith that you and I have been gifted with through the working of the Holy Spirit in your life and in mine, in the waters of holy baptism, when God called us by name and put us on a path towards hope? What's challenging your faith right now? What's putting your faith in the fire? Where are those areas of your life, your relationships, your work, your neighborhood, your activities, where you're being tested? Where it feels like your faith is under fire, in the fire, and it is hot. On this December morning, when it is frigid outside, boy, it is roasting for you and your faith. Where is that place for you? If we return to the book of Daniel, we see that God does not simply leave his people in the slow roaster known as Babylon. God meets his people there. Let me share this with you. Daniel chapter 6. So just a little bit of background. This is the part of Scripture where Daniel is ultimately going to be thrown into the lion's den. One of these classic Bible stories and narratives that we've maybe heard Sunday school or vacation Bible school. What's happening just prior to this text is that an issue has gone out, a decree has gone out from the king. And the issue is this, much like any other decree that's gone out from a pagan king, the decree is this: you got to worship this guy, right? If you don't bow down to the picture of me, the idol of me, the piece of metal that looks like me, sounds like me, whatever, then you're toast. Once again, the Babylonian slow roast. Change your culture, change your beliefs, change your values, change your faith, change your life. And what we see here in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 is what faith in the fire looks like. Once again, the issue has just gone out: worship the king and the king only. But look what Daniel does. Let me share this with you. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. See, this is what faith in the fire looks like. It's if I could put it this way, it's a type of muscle memory. How many of you exercise? I know, or someone say, I'm not sure if I'm going to put that hand up today this morning or not. We get to a point where we're maybe exercising or working out where parts of our body start to develop what I would call muscle memory, right? So if you go to lift those weights, our muscles are conditioned for the activities. If you go for the walk or the run, your legs and parts of your body are just conditioned for the exercise. For Daniel, it's no different in his faith life. When push comes to shove and the fire is turned up and it's getting hot, muscle memory kicks in as for faith. And his faith, through the working of the Holy Spirit, is this: I seek my God. I don't run to another person or another substance or another thing to help me self-medicate. I run to my God. This is what faith in the fire looks like. When it's hot and it's uncomfortable and you and I are being called to leave and abandon parts of the faith that we've been called to by the work of the Holy Spirit, faith, through the work of the Holy Spirit, tells us to look to God. And we experience this, that God stands in the fire with his people. Amen? Amen. Spoiler alert. Daniel's saved. When he's thrown into the lion's den for not bowing down to the king, God saves him. God closes the mouths of the lions and pulls him out. But I want you to see the kind of impact that standing firm in the faith has. What kind of impact, what kind of witness that gives to other people. This is coming from the king, the guy who threw him in the pit with the lions and kind of wondered how much of Daniel was going to come out, if anything. Look at the kind of impact this has on somebody else who's watching from the outside. The king says this: "Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth, 'May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions.'" Do you see the kind of impact that faith and fire has when it stands true, when it looks and it points to God and God only? It has the power and influence to witness, to connect someone else to the saving knowledge of God. Not an idol, not an image, not something else, but God alone. If we go to the New Testament, we see what God does for his people in their faith in the fire moments. And we see this in a big way in Jesus, don't we? Don't we? Especially in the Gospels. Jesus comes to people in their faith in the fire moments where their faith in God is being tested and challenged. Situations of disease and illness, skin diseases, oppression, depression, anxieties, struggles. Situations where it doesn't seem like there's going to be food on the table tonight. God stands with his people, faith in the fire moment. He stands in the storms. Maybe some of you are experiencing a storm right now. And maybe some of us here this morning need to hear that God is with you in your storm. And if that wasn't enough, God stands with us in the biggest faith in the fire challenge for us, our struggle with sin, so that our sins, our pasts, our mistakes, our struggles, our failures will not cook us to a crisp, but at the end of the day, God would have a different ending for you and for me. God pulls Daniel out of the lion's den. God pulls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fire, and God pulls you and me out of eternal death and separation. How? Why? Through who? Through Jesus. And God stands with you and me in our faith in the fire moments this very day. This morning, I'd like to just stop and pause and close on this question. Who is God calling you to stand with this week? Maybe as you've heard about faith in the fire this morning, maybe you're led to recall someone you know in your family, your place of work, your school, your neighborhood, who's getting roasted, toasted, and burnt to a crisp right now. And they need to know that somebody else is standing with them in the fire, and they need to know that Jesus is there. Who is that person that God is calling you to stand with today? And maybe as you hear that question, maybe you're sitting there thinking, Pastor Seth, I'm the one that's being toasted right now. And it feels like my faith is in this fire and the furnace just, it just won't subside. It just won't go away. If that's where you are this morning, then let me say with full confidence that God stands with you in the fire and God's people stand with you in the fire. And if you find yourself being licked by the flames of life, then don't leave today without first visiting with me or one of our leaders so that we can remind you that God is with you and that we can stand with you in the fire you're currently in. This week, may God see through your life and in my life, just as with Daniel's life, God stands with his people in the fire. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ways in which you personalize your grace to each one of us. Today I pray for all those who find their faith in the fire, those who aren't able to be with us this morning, but also for those here in this place who find their faith in the fire. So we realize this morning that we may not live in Babylon, but sometimes we find ourselves in a place, in a culture that wants us to compromise our faith, or maybe look to ourselves or to others or to other things to help us get through. But we pray in these moments, these faith in the fire moments, that you would lift our hearts and our eyes to you and you alone, and help us to look towards you, the living hope that we have. Guide us your people, and as you set people before us this week that you want us to minister to, help us to share a word that points back to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.